Hello, I'm Father Mitch Pacwa, and welcome to EWTN Live, where we bring you guests from around the world. Tonight, our guest is leading one of the most active college campus ministries in the country. He's at Texas A&M University and Blinn College. But before we get to him, I want to bring on the president of EWTN Studios to talk about the National Catholic Youth Conference and the digital dialogue with Pope Leo XIV. So, Peter, good to have you. Peter Gagnon, our president, is what do you know about this whole youth thing?
Yeah, so the NCYC, the National Catholic Youth Conference, it's interesting because of the topic of tonight, colleges, this is for a high school conference. So for high schoolers come from around the country will come together for this conference. It begins tomorrow night. EWTN's the official media sponsor and provider for this conference and our coverage. It's going to be hosted by Monty Alvarado, Father Aquinas Gilbo, and Peter Burak. But and so we're going to be bringing you this conference throughout from Thursday through Saturday and all the events. The key part is Friday morning, our Holy Father, Pope Leo, is going to have a digital dialogue from the Vatican with the people there, with some young folks there at the conference. EWTN is providing that feed, working with the Vatican directly to provide that. And it's a real opportunity. It's his first dialogue with folks in the U.S. and young people to hear what the Holy Father has to say, to answer their questions, to support them and encourage them. And fantastic having an American Pope. Yeah. And who's going to do that with students in the U.S. So people don't want to miss it. That dialogue is going to happen Friday morning. So all the events will be covered from the NCYC. But the key is that Friday morning, you don't want to miss that at all. So we'll be covering it on all our channels and on radio as well. And people can find the full lineup for that at EWTN.com and go to the TV section. It's just going to be a wonderful experience, a wonderful opportunity. And if you have any young people out there who aren't able to attend the event, bring them together and have them watch this and see what the Holy Father is asking them to do to live out their faith fully.
What city is it going to be in?
So it's in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, at the Lucas Oil Stadium, which is interesting because that's where the National Eucharistic Congress was.
Exactly.
So the same stadium. So
that's cool.
It's going to be an exciting, wonderful time, lots of energy, and it's just a wonderful event. We're glad that EWTN is a key partner in that.
Yeah, it's when you see video from the past conferences, they are filled with energy.
Absolutely.
That I can only think about from a long time ago.
Yeah,
so
no,
this is
yeah.
terrific.
Yeah, so we're really looking forward to it. Again, go to EWTN.com, go to the TV section for the full coverage.
Yep. All right. Thank you very much, Peter.
Thank you, Father.
We'll be back in just a moment with our guest, so please stay with us. Welcome back. I'm Father Spackwood, and we're here to talk about Catholic Campus Ministry, which began in Brazos County, Texas, over 100 years ago with one priest and six students from what was then known as A&M College. Now it's called Texas A&M University, and it continues to grow exponentially. Now, in 2025, a community of more than 70,000 students that includes over 19,000 Catholics continues to expand the kingdom of God here on earth. As just a few days ago, they celebrated 30 baptisms of adults and over 100 confirmations. And they have several hundred preparing for full initiation into the church. Our guest tonight is here to share with us how the Holy Spirit is fanning this flame of faith in college students today, and it's on a secular college campus. So please welcome the pastor, of St. Mary's Catholic Center at Texas A&M University in College Station, Texas, Father Will Stratton. Father Stratton, welcome here to Alabama.
Thank you so much, Father.
Good to have you with us from the great Republic of Texas.
It's good to be here.
Good. Now, how long have you been at Texas A&M?
So I've been there as a pastor for 5 years.
5 years.
But I sometimes say it's a little trick question. I graduated from A&M in 2002, so I was a student there at St. Mary's. And then I was ordained in 2009, and I came back as the associate from 2011 to 2013. And then I've been just recently completed 5 years as a pastor.
Yeah, and you're really building on work that had been going on before, well, back when you were a student.
Yes.
Your predecessors have been just having this Catholic life really build over there at College Station.
Yes, it's continued to kind of pass on generation to generation. I'd say, just as you mentioned at the in the intro, over 120 years of campus ministry. And it started very simply when some students that were at the college, there wasn't a Catholic church in College Station, so they walked over to the local, the next town in Bryan, and they were going to church. The Monsignor John Gleichner saw them and started a conversation with them and saw their devotedness, that they would walk 6 miles to Mass and then 6 miles back to campus.
And now, so, and one of the things, too, the students at then A&M College had uniforms. They were cadets, correct?
Exactly. Yeah, it was an all-men's military college. Mm-hmm. Yeah, land-grant school. And so they wore the uniforms to Mass on Sunday. And he was able, of course, easily pick them out. And so started a conversation with them and found out who they were and where they were coming from. And then at that time, the next year in 1904, decided that he would go to the college students. And so he started celebrating Mass at the Civil Engineering Building on campus in 1904. And then...
And one of the things to keep in mind, back then, Catholicism was not really that big in Texas. There'd been a Texan community that was, you know, originally part of Mexico, so they were Catholic.
Sure.
But then Americans started coming in from especially Tennessee and Alabama and all these other southern states, and they kind of overwhelmed the population, and they were not Catholic. So Catholics were pretty much a minority back in those days.
They definitely were. So, of course, just the ethnical groups that came and celebrated or moved into some of the smaller towns. So some German, Czech, Polish. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right.
So not a whole lot of Catholics, you're correct. Yeah.
And yet they showed that great devotion by walking 6 miles to get to church. And a lot of college kids have said, I taught university for a number of years.
Yeah.
There were a few students along the way who felt, well, you just don't understand how tired I am. You're right. And I would agree with them because I didn't stay up until 2 or 3 in the morning on Saturday night. You know, it was hard for them to get out of bed. These guys did it.
They did. They got up, walked, went to Mass, and then walked back. So, yeah, very faithful.
Yeah.
And, of course, very inspiring, right? The priest saw their devotedness and desired to devote himself to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then they built a church 20 years later. And, yeah, the ministry has continued to grow since.
Was Monsignor Gleichner there that long, or were there other priests that came after
him? So he was there, I think the pastor at St. Joseph's in Bryan, for a good 40, 45 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so he was there for quite a few years. Mm-hmm. So he saw the building of the first church they built in 1926, and then oversaw, I think, the beginnings of a student center, a Newman Center, that they built in the early 50s. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the second church was built in 1958. And then, yeah, just a lot of priests, faithful priests, kind of continuing the mission and reaching out to the students. Yeah.
One of the things that I've enjoyed is that the campus ministry at St. Mary's parish? Because that's a parish, right?
It is a parish, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And St. Mary's, so it's not just a campus, but it really is a parish with a very active parish life. And they were having a contest with the University of Illinois some years ago. I remember the competition was who had the largest number of catechumens entering the church, yeah, and who had the largest number of vocations. That's mm-hmm. a great, you know, kind of competition.
It is, yeah. Especially with the number of priests. Yeah.
Yes, and religious sisters as well. One of the your predecessors, though, two of your predecessors have become bishops since being there.
Yes, Bishop Mike Siss and Bishop David Condola.
Bishop Siss is over in San Angelo.
Yes.
And Bishop Condola is
in Tulsa.
Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. Yep.
And so they had a good, you know, deal of work to do at campus. And obviously succeeded tremendously in what they accomplished.
When I came there as a student in the mid-90s, yeah, Bishop Mike was the pastor, and Bishop David was the associate. And and Bishop Mike hired me on as a yard guy. So I was a student, and I mowed the grass, and then we even had an efficiency apartment that was part of the student center. So I lived at the student center and was part of the staff there for about 2.5 years as a student.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I got to know both of them very well.
You're just continuing what you started.
Yeah.
Nice rooms.
Exactly. From yard man to pastor, so, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, there are a couple things that I think would be worth knowing, because I don't think a lot of people realize what a lively faith life is taking place on these college campuses. These students are really serious about their faith. I mean, they're students and they're having a great time and studying hard. And at A&M, there's a lot of work to do. It's not an easy school. It's not a not known as a party school or anything like that. There's serious work there. And in fact, one of the kids I grew up with used to be a professor of veterinary medicine there.
Cool.
John Bauer, Dr. John Bauer. And it's a demanding program, but mm-hmm. these kids are also as serious about their faith as they are about their science and engineering.
They definitely are. So whether it is just desiring to have a place to continue to grow in their faith, kind of recognizing a lot of them have had a great foundation in their faith, but it's an opportunity to make their faith their own. Mm-hmm. And so providing a place at St. Mary's, so as a home that they can come, that they can encounter the Lord, continue to grow in that personal relationship with the Lord, mm-hmm. and have that encounter. But they do definitely take it seriously. I know something that was very impactful for me when I was a student there was student-led ministry. So again, as I said, Bishop Mike, Bishop David were there. We had campus ministers and other staff. But I was a lot of witnesses of the students that were older than me that were leading the retreats, that were giving the talks, that were leading the Bible studies. And they were making it their own. So it was neat to see. And then, of course, campus ministry is a place of hellos and goodbyes, right? So there's always people mm-hmm. coming in, so new people, and then people graduating. And so then, you know, I too got to then kind of fill some of their places. So I became a leader in some of the different retreats and ministries and giving talks and then passing it on to some of the younger ones as I was getting ready to graduate and go to college. So there is definitely a faithfulness, I think is maybe the best word to say, taking faith seriously, but actually, you know, wanting to go to church on Sunday, wanting to go to daily mass, wanting to spend the time in the chapel, yeah?
Well, that's one of the great things. Some close friends of mine from over in Fredericksburg have been very committed to giving support to the chapel. The church, the parish church, now St. Sure. Mary's. And they were well aware that the big problem they had at St. Mary's, it was too small. Mm-hmm. The church that was there in your day was a pretty church, but it was way too small.
Yes, that church sat 800. And it's kind of, when I came in 1996, there was probably, I'm pretty sure there was a good number of people that were coming to Mass on Sundays. I know the daily Mass crowd was around 30 or 40. And then in 1998, they built a new student center, so they were going to build a daily Mass chapel. And so they built it for to seat 100 students, because that was double, triple the amount that were coming to daily Mass. In 1998, when they dedicated the building, it was already obsolete. There was already more than 100 students coming to daily Mass at that time, so we never were per se able to use it. But on Sunday, a lot of times there was standing room only, especially at the 11 a.m. Mass.
Yes.
So a lot of people coming, and we even had to start having overflow Masses and to accommodate the space.
Yeah, it's necessary, because it just already the chapel or the church is too small. Yep. For the increased size of students.
Yeah.
That's a good problem.
It's a great problem, yeah.
That's a good problem, but I don't know if you know this couple, but it's Neil and Gaylin Fisher.
I do know them, yes.
Yeah, they just love the campus ministry and what they've done over there. So they've been very, very helpful to mm-hmm. to your campus ministry. And this kind of work has another, besides this growth, something you already mentioned, that college life is a relatively short period. Yes. And there's constant turnover. Yeah. Of students. Every year there's a new batch that graduates, and then the next year a new batch that comes in. That you don't know at all.
Yeah.
How do you keep continuity? You know, as the years go by.
Yeah, that's an excellent question. I mean, I find sometimes it's staff. I think staff can be continuity. Mm-hmm. So, like I had served at other different parishes, and, you know, I would come, and a lot of times the people would say, "Father, we were here before you, and we'll be here after you." So the people were there, and of course they had the stories, they had the history, and, you know, this was their parish, and, you know, they could tell me what was the kind of the history, the culture of the parish.
Right.
But it's interesting, yeah, the parish here, you know, even I told you I'd been there for 5 years, and now pretty much everyone that was there was a freshman, has already graduated. So it's a brand new campus, a brand new parish, you could say, than when I got there five years ago. So definitely I think staff is helpful. Number two is the programs that we have. So we have a retreat that's been going on, 126 retreats, the Aggie Awakening Retreat. So Awakening that came from the...
126 retreats.
Retreats.
That's
yeah.
more than one a week.
So we've had them, it started in 1983, and we would have them once, and then we got to having them twice a year, and then three times a year. And now we're back to just having them once in the fall, once in the spring. Mm-hmm. But that continuity of that retreat, so now there's children who are going on the retreat whose parents made the retreat, right? So, you know, this kind of connection. We have a group that started John 15, which is small group ministry for freshmen, right? Uh-huh. We also have focus missionaries that are on campus as well. And so some of the programs that are there are also, again, the continuity that helps. So students are looking forward to it. They hear about it.
And so for folks who don't know much about focus, because that's obviously something that's mostly on college campuses, what is focus?
Yeah, FOCUS is an acronym for Fellowship of Catholic University Students.
Okay.
And they are a group of student missionaries. And so a campus ministry can, you could say, hire missionaries to come to the parish. So we have 9 FOCUS missionaries on our campus at Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. And they primarily run Bible studies and basically do outreach on campus. So inviting students to join a Bible study, to encounter Christ, kind of meeting them where they're at, walking with them, pouring into them, accompanying them to come to know the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so we, 9 missionaries, they do outreach to our athletes, to the core cadets that are still on campus, as well as the Greeks.
Yeah, those are areas that, you know, as a pastor, you just cannot get everywhere.
So true.
Especially with 19,000 Catholics on campus.
Yep.
You just cannot be at every part. So having these other folks, but are there any other associate priests that you're?
Yes. One associate pastor.
Okay, yep. So one associate pastor and you.
Yes.
But then the students are able to do an outreach that you cannot possibly accomplish. You just physically can't. And this is crucial.
It is, yes. Yeah, I mean, as you already mentioned, we usually have about 5,000 that come to Mass on the weekend. So myself and the associate, and then we have a campus ministry team. And so they, in some sense, help me with the students who show up. And even too, with those 5,000, we have our hands full, from liturgy to choirs to, again, the retreats, the small groups that we do and the outreach. Mm-hmm. And so then having the focus missionaries kind of really going out on campus, we desire them to go and to meet people on campus and where they're at and to bring them to St. Mary's.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Well, this is an exciting thing. And I understand that they play some football over there. Is that right? Am I correct?
We're doing great this year, man.
Are you? Good.
We're doing really good.
Did you play Vanderbilt this year?
We did not play Vanderbilt this year. No.
Then we can talk.
Yeah.
That's the SEC.
We didn't play Alabama either, so.
Yes. So we don't have to bring up religious differences.
Yeah.
So football is really important on A&M, and they are a great team, and sure, there's a lot of great support for the football team on campus. I mean, this is just a part of campus life that's very exciting. Does that also become part of your work or the work of the parish?
So I will, yeah, answer that in a couple different ways. Number one is, definitely the culture at A&M kind of influences. I mean, it's definitely our students are at A&M, so the sense of loyalty, the sense of supporting your team. So you might have heard of the 12th man.
Yes.
Yeah, so
this is not a movie. Who's the 12th man?
His name is Gil, and he was a student at Texas A&M about over 100 years ago. I think we just celebrated the 100th anniversary, mm-hmm. And he was a football. Well, he played multiple sports, and at the time he was not playing football. He was in the stands, and the football game was going on, and players were getting hurt and continued to get hurt. And so the coach looked up in the stands and saw him and told him to get suited up after halftime, that he might need him, especially the way the guys are getting hurt. So he got all suited up, came and stood on the sidelines, and was ready to go in when the coach called him. Well, interesting, nobody else got hurt, and he didn't have to play, but he stood on the sidelines ready to go in if the coach needed him.
Nice.
And so now all the students and everyone who comes to the football game, we're all seen as the 12th man, right? So we're ready to go in for the team. But nowadays, of course, we wouldn't per se suit up to go play, but we, you know, you yell, you support the team, you're
right
there,
right,
kind of do all the things that fans do as the 12th man, right?
Yeah.
So this, of course, Jesus had 12 disciples, right? You're ready to go in to support the team, team player. So our faith, very much where two or three are gathered, the Lord is in our midst. So a lot of friendship, fellowship, support, encouragement, really kind of flows into our ministry there at St. Mary's.
I also saw, we had a clip that we were showing of some priests walking around the football field. What were y'all doing wearing stoles walking around that field?
So a few years ago, I got a phone call from the chancellor of the university system, and actually it was right before we were playing Alabama, and asked if we could come and bless the Kyle Field, the football field there at A&M. So myself and the two associates went on a Friday morning at 8 o'clock, and we blessed Kyle Field. And the next day, we beat Alabama.
Like I said, I don't think we're here to talk about religious differences. No, that's cool. That is a good thing, though, that bringing the church's blessing into all these areas, including sports life, That the idea of bringing blessings to people is that there's no part of life that our Lord Jesus cannot touch. And it's why we want to have places blessed. Again, we'd like you to be a little more careful about which teams you play against after the blessing. But you know, this is a great thing to do, and that the chancellor, you know, invite you to do that is shows a kind of easy relationship on campus. In regard to the role of St. Mary's, that the administration doesn't see you as an enemy or opponent, but you're part of their own community there.
Yeah, exactly. And along with the blessing, we've also had the chance the last 4 years, 5 years, to do Eucharistic procession on campus. And the last 3 years, we've celebrated the Mass on campus and then kind of processed through campus. So this idea of definitely being able to go where the students are, Jesus wants to be where we are, right?
Yes.
And so wants to be where the students, where they live, where they study, where they take their tests, where they play sports. And so celebrating the Mass and then being able to walk through campus. And it's very beautiful because we have some of our student leaders, as we were talking earlier, some of our juniors and seniors kind of walk before us. Mm-hmm. And they encounter the students who are just passing by. Mm-hmm. And you know, they're called our little evangelization team, and so they let them know what the Eucharist is and what's going on. And so it's always been awesome stories to hear. Some of the students hadn't been to church in a while. Some of them didn't know what was going on or had heard of the Eucharist before. Some of them have joined the procession and followed us back to St. Mary's for benediction. And even some of them have come back to church. So,
see, this is, you know, where there's a willingness to involve. I mean, procession is something that goes back to ancient Israel.
Yeah.
You know, the word that they use for their festivals, chag, is from a root meaning to dance, because they would have, not crazy dance, it was a certain type of processional dance that they did as they processed. And processions with the Ark of the Covenant and going to the temple, this is part of life. Again, that God is involved in the whole of our life, and the churches continue to do the same. So this is a great idea. We need to take a break, but we're going to come back in just a couple of minutes, and we want to get some of your comments and your questions, so please stay with us. Welcome back. So if you want to learn more about the Catholic Campus Ministry at St. Mary's Catholic Center in College Station, Texas, simply go to their website, which is, appropriately, aggiecatholic.org. And Aggie, of course, stands for the old agricultural school, agriculture and mining. That's the A&M. But this is aggiecatholic.org. So you can find a lot more about what they're doing, how the campus is going. Are you ready for some questions?
Ready for questions.
Let's go for it. Here we go. Let's start off with Jeannie, who is calling in from Lafayette, Louisiana. Jean, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Good. How are things down in Lafayette?
Very good.
Good, good. So what can we do for you this fine day?
I just wanted to make a comment about how important priests are for these students. We had a priest at our university before the priest right now who taught the students about reverence. That was one of the many things he did. And these students, up to this day, they go in the church and they pray. They're kneeling and praying. They're so reverent, you know.
That's good. That's, as a priest who is influenced, thank you, Dean, for calling. Appreciate it. As a priest, do you see that kind of formation also going on in what you do?
Yes, yeah. So a desire of the students to kind of reverence. So coming to church, definitely to worship, but also in a reverent way, right? Mm-hmm. So definitely reverence the movement of one's own heart. So first and foremost, hopefully the reverence is coming from a movement of heart, right? So mm-hmm. an encounter that you have with the Lord, wanting to, believing that He is there present in the tabernacle, there in the Eucharist. And so, yeah, so encountering Him, and how do we reverence Him? How do we respect Him? How do we pray in that way?
Yeah, and yeah. I think on one hand, we certainly want the young people to feel comfortable
sure.
being at church, but there's also a certain reverence that is not only teaching them about how to act in church, but reverence is about also teaching respect through all of life. Mm-hmm. You know, that I think that's an important part of instructing about reverence and letting people know God is here. That gives you great dignity, and this is an important part of your formation as a human being, to show that I respect God in His house and I respect everybody else at their houses too. Mm-hmm. This is an important part.
Definitely, yep. Yeah, I was just gonna say, I mean, reverence God, and then of course reverence our brother and sister. Yeah.
Yep. We have a caller named Nick. Nick, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from College Station.
Well, aren't you, you're not part of the Aggie Catholics, are you?
I am. We're all watching live here, and we just wanted to call in and say how much we appreciate and support Father Will. We're all watching live, and we're just very proud of him.
Oh, thanks for calling in. Do you know this young man?
I do know Nick. I met with him last week. He's also one of our altar servers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Great. Well, want to thank all of you students who are watching. We appreciate it. I have a lot of respect for Texas A&M and the students there. So God bless you all for tuning in with us. I appreciate that. Do you find that their own friendships with each other have an effect on the way the parish works?
Yes. So just as I mentioned earlier with the small groups, so small groups that are formed, and so those friendships that are formed from those small groups. And then again, those friendships, when they go to class, when they go to the places they live, you know, they share and pass on those friendships. Mm-hmm. And then also too, with the different ministries and groups that we have. Mm-hmm. So there are friendships that also do form. One of my favorite ones is, spoke about daily mass earlier, and even also our 8:45 mass on Sunday morning, is a lot of times the narthex outside of the church is just, people will stay around for 15, 20, 30 minutes, talking, sharing, visiting, yeah. Just sharing life. And that's really, to me, kind of where, I mean, definitely we just celebrated the Eucharist, but then also to be able to, as we said, to encounter your brother and sister after Mass and continue to grow in that faith. Yeah.
Let me ask you this.
What you got?
Are you giving them donuts while they're waiting around? Or are they just hanging out just because they like hanging out?
They're just hanging out because they like to hang out.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Besides, the donuts aren't that good for them. We don't get them in a bad habit. All right, we have a question from our studio audience. Ma'am, where are you from?
Well, originally from Mobile, Alabama, but I currently live in Bay St. Louis, Mississippi.
Oh, that's a wonderful town. I used to teach over at St. Augustine's, the old Divine Word Seminary
there.
Yes,
they have a nice grotto over there. It's beautiful.
A beautiful place.
Very peaceful.
Yep.
Well, as the Aggie people called in, we have a message for them. This lady would like to say something.
War Eagle!
Oh, wait a minute. See, I knew we'd get religious differences going on here.
But
for those who don't know, War Eagles is the nickname of the team at Auburn University here in Alabama.
And that's okay. Now, go Aggies, too. Right. So the question, I guess, I feel like maybe some people that already graduated from college maybe missed the boat. Either they didn't have one of those centers at their school or what, they maybe weren't aware of it. So maybe they're kind of off having a job maybe in a new town or maybe the same town, but they're maybe a little lost, don't know how to get involved with their local parish. Are they welcome to kind of come join in even though they're not college students? Or maybe perhaps there's graduate students or medical students on campuses. Did those ages get involved as well?
Yeah, at our parish.
Good question. Thank you, ma'am.
So grad students, yes, we have a grad student group. So grad students who are working on their master's or their PhDs can also meet for, they usually have a talk once a month. They also have a small group ministry as well. Mm-hmm. Young adults, we do encourage students who have graduated to find one of the other parishes, the young adult groups that are in those parishes. So a couple of the parishes in the town have strong young adult communities, and so we encourage those students to get plugged in and begin living life in a parish.
Yeah. And that's one of the things, too. But there are people in town, you know, who are not students who do come to Mass at your parish.
Yep. So we they call them the permanent parishioners, and many of them, well, the previous pastor kind of came up with this, kind of focused the three P's. So inviting them to be very prayerful, so praying for the ministry, praying for our students, to be purposeful, so helping us to minister to the students. So many of them have successful careers. Many of them have just a lot of life experience. So we have some different ministries that they can kind of help to form, work with our students. So especially a lot of our OCIA teachers and sometimes some of our table leaders are also our parishioners. Mm-hmm. And then also to Provident, right? So recognizing the college students don't have any money. And so a lot of our parishioners also do provide out of their generosity because they see the fruit that is being born, the hope from our program at St. Mary's, from the students that are there, and so provide. And so, yeah, it's great to see them part of the community.
Absolutely.
And I think it's a great witness, at least for me, too, because to the college students, seeing younger families, seeing older families who are still coming to church, who are faithful, who are inspired by the students, but also, too, can be a witness to the students that, yeah, faith isn't just while I'm in college, right? But yeah. Faith is for the rest of my life, and I can live it out as I see some of these families.
One of the things that sometimes happens to college students and young people is they fall in love with each other.
Yes.
And they start to plan marriage. Do you also have marriage prep kind of programs at the parish, or is that something that you leave to the other parishes where they live?
Yes, if they are college students and are engaged, then we have a program that we run in the fall and the spring. It's called Water to Wine. So it's six consecutive Wednesdays in the fall, six consecutive Wednesdays in the spring. Mm-hmm. And we even have a program for dating couples. So couples who are dating, preparing for marriage. Mm-hmm. And so usually right around the time of Valentine's Day, but usually after spring break, we run that program as well. Mm-hmm. And then we have three staff members that help us to do the different marriage prep for those who are desiring to get married at St. Mary's. So we usually have about 70, 80 that are in marriage prep, and about 30 or 40 of them that'll get married at St. Mary's.
Nice,
yeah?
Nice. And something along that line, I think, you know, the parish with so many young people is extremely important to help facilitate young men and women actually meeting each other. There can be a place for these online dating apps, but that doesn't really cut it long range. It's in the process of trying to meet somebody, engage them in a discussion. Sometimes you flub it and it doesn't work out, but you can learn from that too. But you can't learn how to mess up the relationship, by just doing it online and realize what it was in your approach. You need to interact with real people. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the nice things about church. This is a great place to interact with people that you may be interested in marrying, mm-hmm. and learning that process of the relationship. I've been doing some reading along this line, and mm-hmm. a lot of people are very worried that young people don't have those interactive skills,
sure.
to know how to date and start to form bonds and relationships with people, especially those of the opposite sex. Church is a great place to meet, and it's not so tense as, say, a bar situation or something.
Sure.
This is a as well as all the other areas of campus, sports, sure. and all. Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing. One other thing, too. Texas has changed a lot from the days when the parish started, mm-hmm. with the Monsignor from Bryant. And today, Catholicism is the largest religion in Texas. Mm-hmm. Not the case here in Alabama, but it is in Texas. Mm-hmm. And yet, we're not the majority of people, but we are the largest religious group. How does the interaction with the non-Catholic students on campus go? Do you find that this is a place where they also have a sense of welcome, that they are part of, they have questions? How do you and the students interact with all these non-Catholics that are there?
Yeah. So I'll say a couple things. Just in Texas, religion or faith is, for most people, is taken pretty seriously.
Yep.
At A&M, a lot of people come from smaller communities, and so most communities have a church at the center of the town, right? So whether it's a Catholic or Protestant or non-denominational, there usually is a faith that most of the students have been raised in. Mm-hmm. So it kind of makes religion a fairly easy topic to talk about. Mm-hmm. on campus. So, mm-hmm. And again, as you would suspect, some students who are of other faiths or non-Catholic that haven't been catechized, a lot of them are usually very curious. And it's always interesting once you start talking with them, you find out that they had a grandparent or there was a family member or somebody in the family that usually was Catholic. Mm-hmm. And especially if they're not really involved in a faith, then they usually are ready to ask some questions and learn more. And then, too, you have the ones on campus that are pretty strong in their, non-Catholic faith. And, yeah, sure, they'll allow us for some good conversation.
Or, yeah, sure.
But most people on campus are pretty open to talk and to learn and to listen.
And the people on campus who are strong in their non-Catholic faith oftentimes engage... Catholics. They sure. are concerned that we're saved.
Sure.
They are concerned, are we doing something that is incorrect? That's why they started their church. And they'll engage. But that's itself a very good kind of conversation, and that can help benefit everybody involved.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
So it kind of helps us to grow in our own faith. So being able to kind of share the faith or teach why we believe what we believe, right?
Exactly.
And kind of own our faith. And again, be able to dialogue, right? It's not so much about winning the argument, but it's about just being able to share our faith and why mm-hmm. we believe mm-hmm. what we believe. Yeah.
Another area, though, on campus, I think it's a bigger problem in some places, but it would be an issue in a place like Texas A&M. A number of people see conflict between religion and science. Mm. And this is a need to see how science and faith are not at odds, but you have to understand both. And people want an understand, not just a blind faith, but an engagement with good science and authentic faith. Do you have much of that kind of a conversation going on at Texas A&M?
I would say a little bit. Yeah, a lot of our students are engineers that do come to St. Mary's. So A&M is a very large engineering school population.
Yes.
So definitely a lot of students who understand science, who definitely understand engineering processes and whatnot. But also too have a very deep faith and a deep devotion. Mm-hmm. And so too, kind of being able to kind of meld those two things. So recognizing what God has created, and science kind of helps us to understand what God has made, what God has created.
Yeah.
There definitely are some on campus that are, that are atheist or would not necessarily connect with faith or mm-hmm. see a true split in between the two. And some of them are open to conversation, and some of them are not.
Mm-hmm.
But there definitely is. It's neat to see how faith and religion do come together, how students who are studying on campus and learning about the world, but mm-hmm. still recognize that there is a creator, or this had to have come from somewhere, right?
Yes.
And so recognizing, there is a God, and we're learning about what he has created, what he has made.
Yeah, I think St. John Newman's idea of a university, that was one of his, it's not a very big book, but it's a very important book about, the university being a place where these kind of conversations can happen. It's, to me, a tragedy that in some campuses you cannot have those discussions. You can't engage things very well. This is a very important part of university life. And it's good for the believers to engage people who are challenged by faith or who want to challenge faith with science and find a good dialogue with them.
Mm-hmm.
We have another caller. Mike is calling from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Mike, what can we do for you?
Father Mitch, I was just listening to you tonight and your guest, Father Slater, and one question I had, and you sort of alluded to it, why is there such a strong Catholic population at Texas A&M, considering I would traditionally associate that with Baptist country? Is it due to the influx of, let's say, new industries to the state, bringing people from other parts of the Union, or is it because of the strong Latino population there? And also, Father Mitch, one time you mentioned that rather than sending a child, your young student, to a Catholic college or university where some of the teaching may not be necessarily orthodox, it's better to send them to schools with strong Catholic ministries. How do you find out about them?
Thank you. Great questions, both. Let's take the first one. So why are the Catholics so strong in Texas, dagnabbit?
Well, as we kind of alluded to earlier, it's something that has gone, kind of continued to grow, and that people have heard about the program there at St. Mary's. So just as we kind of alluded to Monsignor John Gleisner, there was Monsignor Charlie Elmer was there in the 50s, Monsignor Elmer Holtman in the 70s, and Father Leon Strider in the 80s, and then Bishop Mike Sis, Bishop David Condell. So first off, I would just say kind of fertile ground or a welcoming space at the campus where people came.
And I would add this, your bishops have sent good men to the campuses to be the pastors. They've been committed to the campus. This wasn't an also-ran, but your bishops have had vision for the campus, and they were committed to it. I think that's important, too.
Very important, yeah. Number two, I think we desire to teach what the church teaches. So mm-hmm. I think just as we were talking a couple of minutes ago, where a university is meant to be a place where you can dialogue and talk and share and visit, I think it's great to recognize, there is a teaching of the church, and living that teaching of the church and sharing that teaching of the church. Also, too, a big one is that we already talked about, too, was just the student-led ministry. So they're not just coming here to listen to me talk or to our staff, but they're seeing other students their age living the faith.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones that are inviting them. And then two, again, it's a ministry that kind of passes on. A lot of these students go back to their high school youth groups and talk about the ministry at St. Mary's, mm-hmm. younger siblings. And again, too, there's a lot of students that are there whose parents were involved in ministry when I was there. So, yeah, it just kind of gets passed on, and people hear about it. Yeah.
Then the other thing, second question, how do people know when a secular university has a good university campus ministry? How do they hear about that so they can say, yeah, I'm going to send my students over there, my kids, to that school?
Yeah, a lot of it is still definitely word of mouth.
Yep.
And definitely also, social media has been able to help a lot with that as well. But I think a lot of it is, as I mentioned, older brothers and sisters who tell their younger siblings, again, who go back to their friends who are in youth group and share and pass on the message that is there as well. So we have this a retreat that's at the beginning of the campus, at the beginning of the semester, called Connect. Mm-hmm. So we desire to connect the students to St. Mary's, connect them to one another, and also connect them to their faith, to Jesus, to God. And so at that retreat, we usually start off back in May, and we start inviting all the students at the end of the semester to, if they know of anybody that's going to be a freshman here next year or transfer student, tell them to come to this retreat.
Yeah.
And we also sometimes have published in local bulletins where we've known where students have come from in the past, and mm-hmm. so encouraging them to come to St. Mary's.
And Mike, you can also take a look. There's a Newman Society list of colleges, and I don't know if they rank the college ministries or not, but check out the Newman Society list. Again, I want you to check out more about the campus ministry at St. Mary's Catholic Center, and all you have to do is go to AggieCatholic.org, AggieCatholic.org, and find out more of the great things that they're doing, different support that can be shown. Father, thank you for coming. Yeah. It's just gone by quickly, but I want you to join me in giving a blessing.
Great.
May Almighty God bless you all and keep you and cause His face to shine upon you. May He lead you in all of your ways by His peace. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And we can bring you guests like Father Stratton and tell us about great things going on throughout the church and all the other programs that we have here, only because this network is brought to you by you. That's how our Lord inspired Mother Angelica to do it. So please remember to keep us in between your gas bill, your electric bill, and your cable bill. That's the only support that we get. This is what keeps it going, and you get to share in the ministry of proclaiming the gospel by your generosity. God bless you all, and thank you.